In this St. Patrick's Day week, there is some deep history and remembrance among the Irish all over the world. This is the 100th anniversary of the Easter Rising Revolution in Ireland. On Easter Monday in 1916, as Europe was deep in the violence of World War I, more than 1,600 rebels in Ireland rose up against British rule. At first, the Rising had limited backing from the Irish public. It was Irish Americans who supported the cause and grasped its significance. One of the events marking the centenary is happening right here in Boston. Father Oliver Rafferty helped organize it. He's a professor of history and director of the Irish Studies program at Boston College, and he joins me now right here in the studios of WGBH in Boston. Father Rafferty, welcome.
Thank you.
So what are the remembrances here in the United States, in Dublin? I suspect in Belfast there's a different sort of memory, and all over the world.
Part of the difficulty, and the reason why some people are kind of hesitant about the whole idea of remembering the Rising, is the fact that throughout the rest of the 20th century, one has people who were involved in, for example, terrorist activities, the Irish Republican Army in particular, claiming the justification for terrorist activity is predicated on the legacy of the 1916 Rising. And as we all know, in more recent years, up until 1998, we had a 30-year terrorist campaign in Ireland, not entirely orchestrated by the IRA, but they played an enormous kind of part in that terrible period of death and destruction, and they explicitly appealed to what had happened in 1916. It is true that the Irish government has an enormous program of commemoration of the Rising, but to some extent, and this is my own perhaps idiosyncratic view, to some extent it was forced into that, because it was clear that Sinn Féin, the sort of political wing of the IRA, that they were going to dominate celebrations, commemorations about 1916. So the Irish government had to act to try to ensure that the legacy of 1916 was not used for glorification, shall we say, of violence by people who have only in recent times repudiated violence.
It's been a tough many years for Ireland financially. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if this centenary is a moment of relief, even given the ambiguity and the celebrations that you're going to be involved in, will shed some of the confusion that has dominated the historical legacy of this event down through the years. Mm.
So part of the celebration, commemoration, is to try to kind of buy into that, to recapture, to reinvigorate, shall we say, a sense of Irish nationalism, a sense of equality, a sense of where we're going as a nation. What does it mean to be an Irish nation playing its part in the world today? And therefore, it's kind of to look back to see that there was a vision, shall we say, at the beginning of the 20th century, not just a kind of vision about separatism from Britain, but also a vision about Irish culture. Because after all, the Rising is drawing on a movement that had begun in the 1890s, the Irish Revival, the Gaelic Revival, trying to kind of reconnect a sense of nationhood with the Irish people and a revival of things like the Irish theatre, Yeats and Lady Gregory, the Gaelic language with kind of Douglas Hyde and Owen McNeill. In other words, to give a certain sense to people in Ireland that we are a nation with an ancient heritage. And if we are to play a part in the modern world, that's what we have to buy into.
Is this a 4th of July moment for the Irish, or is it maybe a little more complex than that, even though I suspect there is going to be some raising of glasses, there is going to be some reading of great literature and poetry and all of that here in Boston and in Dublin and around?
It is interesting, isn't it, that Americans, by and large, when they celebrate the 4th of July, don't have these ambiguities about that event, about the, as it were, the attempt by Americans to separate themselves from Britain, despite the fact, obviously, it was a war, it was a revolution. For the Irish, particularly given the kind of the history of violence in 20th century Ireland, that forms part and parcel of how we look back at the Rising, and therefore the great ambiguities surrounding that event and its legacy for Irish history. So in other words, the issue is this. Is Irish nationalism, is Irish sense of identity predicated on violence? Or is it predicated on something else, an idealism that is written into the proclamation of the Irish Republic in 1916?
I suspect you would say the latter. Mm. And what's the Gaelic honorific or celebratory language that you would use on the centenary?
Well, strangely enough, of course, the problem now in Ireland is that the Gaelic language, the Irish language, has fallen out of use as the medium of kind of everyday speech. And this is something that certainly Patrick Pearse would have, had he have lived, would have had deeply regretted. Why? Because he famously says on one occasion, it's not just a question of Ireland being free, but it is a question of Ireland being Gaelic, Gaelic and free. And therefore the kind of the foundation motif, if you like, of this new nation, of this new vision of life, had to be both free and Irish.
So what's your call for this centenary? Is it a prayer? Is it a poem? Is it a reference? Is it some language that's particularly important to you as you think back and join with so many people here in Boston?
My own hopes are this, that in looking back to the past, we would have a sense of how Ireland and Irish people are to play their role in contemporary society. What can we learn from a violent past? What can we learn from the conflict in Ireland, which has lasted, of course, a very long time, that will enable us to look anew at ourselves and share that with other situations of conflict and of violence? That's certainly my hope of what will emerge as a result of thinking about the events of 100 years ago.
He'll be celebrating and remembering. Father Oliver Rafferty is Professor of History and Director of the Irish Studies Program at Boston College. Thanks so much, Father.
Thank you very much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.